Well, good evening and welcome. I'm not sitting alone here at my dad's house. Dad is here and Pansy is here with me. So I have people that are in this room that you don't see. They're not trying to be antisocial. They're just sitting in more comfortable seats. So that's quite fine. So we welcome our world travelers back from Ohio, and I'm glad that God granted you safety and good time and renewing and deepening relationships. That's a great thing. So, well, let's begin with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for just a gorgeous day. We love the blue sky and the pretty clouds, and we're thankful that it's warm and that the warmth of your spirit is present with us. I pray that tonight, as we're together, that we would sense your presence in a powerful way, that we would be open to your direction and you would have to say to us, may we have a teachable spirit from you. And Lord Jesus, we bless you, we honor you, and we're so grateful for all that you've accomplished on our behalf. And thank you. So Father, I pray that as we worship tonight, you will be honored and you will be pleased. I thank you in Jesus' awesome name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, children, I have a story that I'd like to talk to you about. And it has to do with things that are on the inside. When we see other people, we can tell what they look like. We know the color of their hair. We can see the color of their eyes, unless they've got their eyes closed. And we can see the shape of their ears and the shape of their chin and how tall they are, how short they are, how thin they are, how thick they are. That's a nice way of saying fat. And just everything about them. We can see what kind of clothes they have on, and just so much that we can know about people by looking at them. We can learn some things about people by listening to what they have to say. And we can tell what language they speak. We can tell if they're friendly or if they're mean. We can tell what? All kinds of things. Are they good at sports? Are they athletic? Do they run fast? Are they good hiders at hide and seek? There are things that we can know about people. But there's also some things that we cannot possibly know about other people. And that is what's on the inside. Why do they do what they do? And we can't know why people are mean or why they're nice. Sometimes people are really nice to us because they want us to do them a favor. Now, sometimes it's because they just really like us and they just want to be nice. Sometimes they're mean just because they're mean people. Sometimes they're mean because that's the way they've always been treated and they don't know how else to treat people other than what they've treated. I brought some Easter eggs to illustrate what I mean by we can't know what's on the inside of people. I've got three of them here. Who can tell me what's on the inside of this Easter egg? Anybody? Can you children hear me? What's on the inside of this Easter egg?
I don't know.
You don't know. Why don't you know?
Because you can't see the inside.
Because you can't see the inside. Well, what about from your experience? Have you ever seen Easter eggs like this before?
Yes.
And what was in them?
Candy.
Candy was in them. Okay. So you think these eggs have candy in them?
Yes.
How would you find out?
Because
By opening them.
Opening them, that would do it. How about if I shake it? Would that help you?
Yeah.
Okay, listen to this one. Did you hear that?
There's nothing in it.
Nothing.
Nothing in it. Okay, well, we'll see after a bit. How about this one?
It's money.
Money.
Money's in that one.
Nothing.
Okay. Okay. You sure it's not candy?
Yeah.
Listen again. That's money, not candy. Okay. All right. Now, how about this one?
Nothing
in it again. All right. Well, let's see how we did. Here's the first one that you said was empty. Nothing in it. And look, there's nothing in it. You were right. You were right. Okay, here's the second one that had money in it. Who's going to take the money if there's money in it?
I'll take the money.
You'll take the money? That's good of you. Oh, look what I found in it. Can you see what's in it?
It's a rock.
Of course it is.
Daddy got it right. It was a rock.
It's a stone, isn't it? It's not money. No, you didn't know what was in it, even though you listened and you thought you knew. But you didn't. You made a good guess. You've seen money in eggs before, but this one had a stone in it. It pretended to be something nice, but it wasn't. And you didn't know that. Now, here's the third one. That one's empty. Right? You told me it was empty, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh.
That's money! Oh.
Look what's in this one.
$20.
$20. It was upside down, though.
I'll take
wow.
it.
Wow. Now, which is the best egg?
The money.
The $20 one. Yeah, not the stone and not the empty one. We'll take the $20 one every time.
I want it.
But you didn't know what was inside it until you opened it up and saw the inside. We need to be really careful when we judge people, when we make decisions, whether people are good or bad or mean or nice, we can know if they've treated us nicely or if they've treated us meanly, but we don't know why. And we need to be real careful and not make decisions about why people do things unless they tell us. And even when they tell us, sometimes they don't really know why they did it. Sometimes they did something mean and naughty and they just did it. But what I want us to understand is just looking at a person, just talking to them, we can't know what's on the inside. God tells us not to judge people. He does the judging because he knows our hearts. He knows what's inside and we don't. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you do know our hearts. You know them even better than we do. And I pray that these children, as they go through life, will treat people honestly and fairly and kindly and the way they would want to be treated, and in a way that honors you and blesses the people around them. Keep them from judging. And I thank you that you know our hearts, and that you call us to be faithful and true to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 This evening, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Those are good words. Those are words to live by. To sing joyfully and to to give praise to our God as we're righteous people. Righteous people are people who are in right relationship. And we need to remember that about righteousness. Righteousness has to do with relationships and the way we treat people, the way we treat God. And when we're in a good, healthy relationship, then we're righteous. And that's how God wants us to live. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. We're to give our all in our worship, in our singing, in our praise to God. Do it to the best of our ability. Do it with our hearts. Do it from what's inside of us, and let that inside be respectful and joyful and celebration of who God is and what he's done for us and how awesome he is. The word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. God's word is always true. It's always dependable. You can trust it. You can know that if God said it, that's the way it is. And there's no reason to argue with it. There's no reason to try to explain it away. We just accept that this is what God said, and this is who he is. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. I want to stop at this verse and park on it for a little while. The word of the Lord loves righteousness. He loves it when we have right relationships. He loves it when we get along. How good and blessed it is when brothers live together in unity, and when all God's people live together in unity. And that psalm goes on and talks more about the blessing of that, what it's like and how awesome it is. But he loves righteousness and justice. Now, that word justice, we hear it a lot. The Mennonite church talks about peace and justice. We hear in our society that without justice, there is no peace. And now, what does that word justice mean? When we think of justice, we often think of our courts, our court system. And what the court is there to do is to determine what a just result is of the actions of some person. Were they guilty of a crime? If they are, there's a penalty. And that penalty is supposed to bring justice to the situation. If they're innocent, then they're told, you're free to go. There's no penalty. We're sorry for taking up your time wrongly. But what is justice? Is that justice? And yes, in a sense, in a form, that is justice. It's the best we as humans can do for justice. Let's think about that, though, for a little while. If an individual takes the life of another individual, we call it justice if they're found guilty and they're either sentenced to death by the state and then killed by the state, or if they spend life in prison or some other penalty that is very strict and very severe. But is that justice? Does it remedy the situation? Seems to me that justice should make things right. That if justice is accomplished, then the wrong has been paid for in full. And if somebody takes the life of one I love, taking their life doesn't bring back the one I love. So how is that justice? Them sitting in jail for the rest of their life doesn't bring back the one I love. So how is that justice? And if I go back to the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, if somebody injures me, let's say it was intentionally, and took out one of my eyes. So justice would be, in our thinking, in our society, and in that whole eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, would be to take out the other person's eye, just like I lost my eye. Let's think about that. Taking out a person's eye is unjust. It's wrong. It's evil. It's wicked. So if they've taken out my eye, they've done something wrong, evil, wicked. If I, through the law, take out their eye, haven't I done something that was awful, mean, and wicked? And do two unrighteous acts equal righteousness or justice? Two unjust acts equal justice? I have trouble with that. I don't know how we get justice in from a human standpoint. You know, because we can't undo what's been done. And so justice is something that it's hard to bring to a situation where injustice has occurred. I think what the Bible is teaching us about justice is what it says in Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To act justly. I think that's what we're called to. We're called to live a life that everything we do, everything we say is just. It's right. It's appropriate. And if we do no injustice, well, then justice is done. And if we were to all live that way, we wouldn't experience injustice. Now, I know we live in a fallen world. We're not going to see that. But I don't think we're going to get justice by beating up somebody else or taking another person's life, or taking another person's eye, or doing wrong to another person. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus gave his life. He gave it freely on the cross. It was the most unjust act in society in history, then or now or any time in the future. A sinless man was sentenced to death for no reason. And his response was, Father, forgive them. They've got no clue what they're doing. Now, it's interesting. I did a little bit of a study. I didn't realize how much of a study this could become when I started it. But I did some study on this word justice and what does it mean and what's it about. And, of course, there's Old Testament and there's New Testament. When we talk about justice, but here's from a definition from a Bible dictionary, Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of the Bible. Justice is rooted in the very nature of God. It's rooted in the very nature of God. He even-handedly rewards good, and he does not ignore the sins of any. And God rarely delivers instant justice. That's something for us to think about too. God never shows partiality or favoritism, which is just. That's justice. That's part of justice. So justice is not a virtue for judges and kings alone, but all Israel is to follow in the paths of justice. Pursuing justice in life is of greater worth than religious ritual. I can go on here and talk a lot about what this says about justice, but let me say this of what I read here and just thumbnail it real quick here. The word justice, this dictionary says, does not show up in the New Testament. Righteousness is the word that gets translated justice when you see justice in the New Testament. And righteousness and justice, this dictionary is suggesting, are the same thing. So that if we want justice, it's righteousness that we're after. Righteousness for me is a word that I can get my head around a lot easier than justice, because of the way justice has been used in our society to be the courts and to be penalizing people. And actually, it's revenge, in my opinion. What we call justice in the courts is truly revenge. It's payback for what you've done to me. And if God paid me back for what I did to him, I'd have no chance. But God offers mercy and grace, kindness. God's very character is that he's going to act justly. He's going to act righteously to all of us. He's going to treat us all equally, fairly. When I say equally, it's not necessarily the same. Here's a parable in Matthew 20. It just flies in the face of what we think justice is. We think justice is everyone being treated equally and the same and fairly. But the parable of the workers in the field in Matthew chapter 20, some of them go to work at 9 in the morning and they're offered one day's wages for working from 9 to 5, which that seems fair. They were happy to do it. So then at noon, the farmer goes out and he sees some more workers that are just standing around not working. So he hires them, said, come out to my field and work for me and I'll pay you a fair wage. Didn't say how much. And then at 3 in the afternoon, he goes out again and hires some more and tells them the same thing. Come work in my field. I'll pay you a fair wage. At the end of the day, he started paying his workers and apparently he did it publicly in front of all of them. And he started with those that began work at 3 o'clock. And he gave them a full day's wages for 2 hours work. And then the people that worked the whole day thought, oh, we're gonna get more than what he told us. And then he gave to the people that came at noon and he gave them a full day's wages. And then when he came to the people that started at 9 o'clock, he said he paid them a full day's wages just like he'd agreed to. And they complained. They said, this isn't right. This isn't fair. We worked all day in the hot sun and we're only getting the same as these other people. And the farmer said, what's it to you what I pay somebody else? I agreed to pay you this and you agreed to work for it. And I paid them. If I'm generous with them, why does that bother you? And where's justice in this? You see, I think we put too high a value on the idea of justice being payback. Everybody's going to get their just desserts, and it's going to happen now when I can see it the way I want it to happen. And that just isn't going to happen in this life. I just had a situation where I think I can illustrate this with roughly a year ago, probably 11 months ago. I ordered a fall detection device from a company for my dad to wear in case he tripped and fell or just passed out and fell or something happened that he would fall, that then this would make a 911 call and bring help to him. Well, he fell and it didn't work. And so I called the company and I complained and I said, look, you know, he fell. Oh, we're so glad you called. We have this new system that is where it just detects a whole lot better. And we've been wanting to send it to you. We'll send it to you now. So they sent it to us and Dad started wearing it in addition to the other one. And he fell again.
Oh.
It did not make a call for him either. It didn't respond to his call, fall. Well, now I'm really unhappy. And I called the company and I told them what I thought of their product and of their company. And you know, and what can they do to make that right? There's not a thing they can do to make that right. You know, thankfully, Dad didn't lay on the ground for a long extended period of time because in the one that he got injured, God sent Pansy out to see that he was there quickly. She actually heard the fall and was there shortly after he fell. And thankfully, there was no continuing or serious or lifetime injury because he wasn't gotten to quickly enough. Now, if that had happened, where would justice be? What could be done to bring justice to that situation? And what could this company do to make right the fact that their product just didn't work when Dad needed it to work? There was nothing they could have done. I suggested they could give me a refund of the full amount we paid them, but they didn't seem to think that would be fair. So that wasn't going to happen. But even that wouldn't have made it right. That wouldn't have gotten Dad help any quicker. Or, you know, so I think we put maybe too much emphasis on wanting justice when what we really want is revenge, if we're truly honest. So righteousness and justice, God loves them both. And God calls us to both, to be righteous and to be just, to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God, to be righteous people. And when we think of those as synonymous or so blurred that you can't tell where one starts and the other stops, then we're to treat every person, every situation in a way that we would want to be treated, in a way that is going to build up and enhance our relationship, not cause it harm or injury. I've said when I was back in the business selling lawnmowers that my goal was that at the end of every business transaction, and I would say the same thing now that I'm selling houses, but at the end of every transaction, I could share my faith in Jesus with the person that I just sold the product to or did a service for, and they would be open to hearing it because of the way I treated them in the business transaction. That they wouldn't walk away saying, what a scoundrel he is, how unfair and unjust he is, but rather they would say, wow, he's an honest businessman, and I enjoy doing business with an honest person. They may not like the price. The product might not have worked the way they hoped it would, but we work that out as we can. So those are some thoughts I have on justice and righteousness that came to me as I was pondering this message and thinking about it and working through all there is about that. And so here we go. We'll move on. I'll leave it at that. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. So God created the world just by his voice. He said, let it be, and it was. And that voice is still speaking today. And it's just as authoritative as it was at creation. And you can depend on it just as much as creation happened. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars, or another word there might be into a heap, into a pile. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Now, when it says, let all the earth fear the Lord, that means have respect for or have reverence for the Lord. Fear the Lord in the sense that, wow, he is an awesome, A-W-E, some being. And I just have great respect and I reverence him. I'm not going to cross him. I'm not going to challenge him or his authority. He said it. That's what it is. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. That means he spoils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. That means he stops the plans, the purposes of the peoples. He doesn't just let evil go. It looks like it sometimes, but he doesn't. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. And that's something that we need to understand. God has a plan of salvation, and it's for eternity. And it's there's not another Jesus coming. There's been one Jesus. He paid the price. He did it once, and it's for all. He finished the work. And when he was done, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And so there's not another Savior coming down the road. God doesn't have a plan B. He's got plan Jesus, and that's it. And so we want to be sure that we take part in plan Jesus. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. Now, it's kind of interesting. We have a horizontal view. We see each other basically on the same level. Some of us are a few inches taller than others, so we get a little more of a bird's eye view. But basically, we all see across the same lines. But God is up above looking down. He has a bird's eye view. And if you have a bird's eye view, there's nothing hidden. There's nothing that we're going to get away with that he's not going to see. So we need to understand that there's no hiding from him. And he knows us. He considers everything that we do. That means when he says there, he considers it, I think it's he understands it. He knows what's behind it. He knows what's inside the egg. And we can't pretend that it's something else and fool him. We can pretend, but it's not going to be effective. He's still going to know. He goes on. He says, no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. He deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. Now, kings use their might, they use their military, they use their warriors, they use their horses, whatever their weapons of war are, and they think they accomplish great things. But this scripture says it's worthless. In the end, doesn't amount to anything. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, who reverence him, who respect him, who honor him. That's what that word fear means. On those whose hope is in his unfailing love. Our hope for justice rests on God accomplishing his purposes and his plans in the world through eternity. That's where justice is meted out, as God does it in the end, as we receive the reward of his grace and his mercy. Everything else falls away and doesn't matter. But he will deliver us from death and keep us alive in famine. When hard times come, we suffer. Hey, I was hot today and I did sweat and I didn't smell real good when I did that. You know, body odor comes to all of us. But that's a small thing. But I can make it a big thing if I choose to. And that's the way all of our hurts and all of our wrongs in life are. Compared to what Jesus went through for us, it's nothing. And compared to the gift of God's mercy and his kindness, his generosity, his goodness, his grace to me, my momentary struggles in this life are nothing. And it's so worth it to experience, well done, good and faithful service. Enter into the joy of your salvation. That's what we want to hear. So we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. He's our help. He's our shield. We can hide behind the Lord. He stands between us and the trouble that we face. Just think how much worse it would be if he wasn't between us and our trouble. Then we would really have trouble. No matter how serious our trouble is right now, it would be exponentially worse if God was not our shield, defending us, standing between us in that trouble. So in him, our hearts rejoice, and we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. God's unfailing love is with us, and we need to be sure that we have our hope in him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Thank you for your promises, because we know they're true. They're not just empty words. You back them up. They're part of your purpose. They're part of your plans, which are accomplished on the earth. And so we just give you honor and praise. Father, I pray that you will teach us the paths of righteousness and justice, and that we will walk in them in relation to people that we love and that we're close to, that are family, that are friends, that are fellow believers, but also to strangers, also to aliens, also to people that we've not met yet. Thank you that we do not have to return evil for evil, but we can return good for evil, that we can love our enemies because you did. May we walk justly. May we walk in righteousness every day, all day, through the power of your presence and your Holy Spirit in us. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. We so desperately need you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Do you have a testimony or something you'd like to share with us tonight?
We had a great trip in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I'm so glad you did.
We got to see Joel on the way home.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? I'm sure he was happy to see you.
Yeah.
That's great. I bet your daddy was happy to see you when you got home, too.
Yeah.
I know I was happy to see Pansy when she got home. Yes, we're thankful for safety and travel, Pansy says. That's true. Yeah, we're thankful for the rain that we had this week. Our yards and gardens needed that desperately. On another note, tomorrow evening is the meeting that Reverend Bagley is hosting at his church to talk about race issues and the situation that our country is in related to that. And I've been invited to attend that meeting, and I have every intention of being there. So I would invite you to pray for me and for those that are at that meeting, that God's Spirit would be present and give us wisdom and discernment and some great ideas. Well, I'll pray again. Father, we thank you for safety and travel, time and visiting family and extended family that we don't get to see all that often. And we just bless you and give you honor and praise. Lord, I pray for the situation that our nation is facing related to racism. And it isn't just black and white, but it's so many races are involved and ethnic groups and religions and it crosses so many lines and it can be so confusing. But to you, it's very simple and very clear, and you know the answers to the situation. So I just pray for discernment and wisdom as we meet tomorrow evening. I pray for hearts that are open to learn and to honor and to bless one another and to come away with encouragement and hope and a plan that says you are Lord and you are awesome. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Keep moving and working in our lives. I thank you in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. Well, thanks for being with us tonight, and God bless you with an awesome week.